Want to thank Tiff for coming in on her time away in Florida. Got to talk a little bit about the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'm going to do that right now, too. And Chris Tubbs coming in. I mean, it's going to be a really difficult time up in Minneapolis because there's a lot of heated views from everything that happened and everything that happened afterwards. And it started a whole chain reaction across the country to try to get things better. I don't think we can ever get in trouble by trying to do things better, and that's where we need to be. If you want to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa, the BetMGM app is very easy to download, very easy to use. You can download the app, put some skin in the game, check out the specials. They have parlay specials. They have first bet specials. You know, deposit, bet, win. And that's all you need to do if you're going to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa. Use BetMGM. If you want to check out a bank, one of our new sponsors is Northwest Bank. They have two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Northwest Bank just won top workplace honor for the sixth year in a row. So not only are they a great place to work, but they're also a great place to do your banking. Excellent customer service. It's everything. They have all your banking needs. Northwest Bank. Two locations. Two locations in Ankeny and one in West Des Moines. Let's take a little bit deeper dive into the retirement of Luka Garza's jersey. I thought that having Fran McCaffrey do that and have it right after the last game, I think that was well-meaning and very touching. And I think that's what we look for in, you know, I think that's the side of Fran McCaffrey that we don't see. And at times, I think Fran doesn't realize just how good of a guy he is, and that, you know, getting the good guy reputation is not a bad thing. He gets going, he gets a little wild, he screams and makes those faces that just make you want to click a picture and go, yeah, don't make those faces anymore. But when he cares about his basketball players, and that's what, as a parent, you want as an athletic director, that's definitely what I want. So very happy with that. I thought it was a really good ceremony. I understand if, one, Devin Marble being a former player, and he was a very good player. People, I think, forget how good a player he was at the University of Iowa. He was very, very good and well loved in the university. And somehow, I think that he took that as a slight to his father as being the career scoring leader until Luka passed him, that was a slight on his father, that he doesn't have his jersey hanging up in the rafters. His father's in the Iowa Hall of Fame. His father was a very good basketball player on a very good Iowa basketball team, and deservedly so, was the career point scorer, played, you know, I mean, he was just fun. He was fun to watch. When you're doing something like this, and once again, if you want to, if you disagree, you can go to Twitter at Steen on Sports. You can go to @1700TheChamp. You can text me. Just because you're the career scoring leader at a university, or, you know, it doesn't mean that you get your jersey retired. It's a combination of things. I believe it's a combination of things. That's what I'm looking for. Chris Street has his retired. What happened to Chris Street, what he brought to the university, what he brought to the university afterwards, and what he's continued to do in the city of Indianola and all those things, that was a tragedy and took away a great life. B.J. Armstrong paid back a lot, did a lot, and at the university. No matter what you think about Roy Marble had some rough years, and that affects what happens to you after you play there. It's not just about I was the best player that played there. It needs to be more than that. It needs to be the fact. I mean, I don't believe anybody believes that Frank Garza and Luke Garza aren't going to come back to the University of Iowa and do good things for the university and the students and the surrounding community. I just believe they're going to do that. I believe that Chris Street would have done that. I believe Chris Street's family in his absence has done that. And I hope, and Gary Barta, I just looked again, Gary Barta's reaching out saying this was no diss at Roy Marble. It was not any at his family. This was about Luka Garza. And that's what we need to realize. It was about Luka Garza. If you don't agree with me, I understand that. And I guess I want to know why you wouldn't agree with that. I think it was a no-brainer. My only thought, and I don't know how to quantitatively say it, is did Jordy Bohannon deserve the same? He's done a lot of great things for the University of Iowa. Been he was, like Tiff said, he was kind of their grit. You know, I'm going to be him and Connor McCaffrey decided that, okay, we're going to be the bad guys. You guys can be the good guys. We're going to be the bad guys. I'm going to be the one that dropped my shoes off when you beat my Cyclones. I'm going to be the one that if you get in somebody's face, I'm going to get in your face. That's the same with Connor. That's why I love both of them, and I love watching them play basketball. Do I like coaching against kids that do that? No. Would I love having kids like that on my team? Yes. And that's what sets all this apart. And I'm telling you right now, Luka Garza deserves to have his jersey hanging in those rafters, because when he came to that university, there was nobody, and I mean nobody, that thought he was going to be the Naismith basketball winner and All-American and have the career that he had. Nobody, if except for his dad, maybe, and maybe Luka. But the rest of them, there's no way. After you watch him and all the things that he's gone through, and, you know, he's a great kid. And when he was told, I mean, he couldn't, you know, I'm a big crier, right? I cry at all kinds of dumb things. Something like that, I would be bursting in tears if it was my son, if it was me, no matter what. And I'm a Cyclone fan, but I'm not a Hawkeye, not a fan, just when they're playing Iowa State. I don't root for Iowa to lose, and I don't root for their players not to do well. And Luka Garza has, I coached eighth grade basketball for a long time. If I could take a player, I would take both those players, Jordy Bohannon and Luka Garza, and use them as examples to these young kids. It's not enough for you to stand out on the three-point line and just keep chucking stuff up. It's not enough, to just care about what happens to you. You need to care about everybody on your team, and you need to care about everybody on the floor. And that's what these two kids have done for the University of Iowa. And kudos for them, and I hope they go far this year. And I hope they win the Big Ten, and I hope they go as far in the NCAA as possible. They got to get to the Final Four if they're gonna knock off that 1980 team. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting. Probably the biggest news of the day is Dak Prescott. And I've listened to enough shows today to not completely understand who won bigger. Dak Prescott or the Dallas Cowboys. They have their quarterback. My thought process on the franchise tag, after he was injured in that game in a gruesome way, I didn't think there was any way in the world. You had two choices if you're the Dallas Cowboys. Move on and just say, you know, with everything that's going on and the amount of money, we just can't afford to be in this anymore. And Dak, here you go. Here's your free ticket, and you can go somewhere else, or you buy in. And Jerry Jones bought in. The thing that I think that people are forgetting is Jerry Jones paid him this much money, and they're saying, well, it's so much money. Trust me, Jerry Jones knows that he can make that money back. Either he knows what TV contracts are looking like, he can see money where he can get, or he can just see the money that's going to come pouring in because he finally picked his dude to follow with all the dudes, you know, following from Roger Staubach to Troy Aikman to Tony Romo to Dak Prescott. And he said, okay, I'm putting my eggs in this basket. Let's go. And we'll fit this team around you. I think that was a great thing. And I'm excited for Dak. Do I think he's a top 10 quarterback? There's no doubt in my mind he's a top 10 quarterback. Does he have the ability to become better than a top 10 quarterback? I agree with that. Also, if Jerry Jones puts other people around him and Mike McCarthy puts other people around him, but even more importantly, takes amount of money and tries to help the defense and make it a better program. Right now, they lost more games last year because of the amount of points they were giving up than anything else. So I think if they do that, you know, I think it's going to be happy times in Dallas. Dallas is a whole different. I mean, you walk into Dallas Cowboys Stadium, you already know that it's different than every other football team, maybe except for the Raiders with a new stadium and the Rams with their new stadium. But it's a totally different world, what Jerry Jones does. And for people to say, well, he's not a very good business person. If you want to say that he's not a very good football business person, you can say that. But to say that Jerry Jones isn't a very good football person, the Dallas Cowboys are worth more. I mean, you could take probably six or eight of the bottom teams, and they still don't get to what he has, the Dallas Cowboys franchise, at an asking price. And I think that's very important to look at. He didn't get taken by Dak Prescott and his agent. I don't believe that. So we'll have to see. Winning is all that matters. When you get to that point, and that's kind of where we're at. Just some quick news. You know, you hate this time of year because, you know, you have one person that you can franchise, and we've had some people get franchised today. And it's a difficult time for people because, you know, it's still a lot of money. I think it's a combination of the top five salaries averaged out over a certain amount of time. But you also have people getting released, and you're going to have more people getting released, especially after they finally set the salary cap, and they start when the season actually opens up and people can start cutting people and people can start moving teams. The Vikings released Dan Bailey today. You could see that coming. Dan Bailey missed some very important field goals last year. Field goal kickers in the NFL are loved and beloved until they miss kicks, and then you're in trouble. So Dan Bailey was kind of shown the way today. An interesting one today also. Freddie Kitchens moving up in the offensive scheming for the New York Giants. Freddie Kitchens kind of getting a second chance in the NFL, which I think is a good thing. Aaron Jones from the Green Bay Packers today he was not franchised, so he will be moving on. He can go into free agency. Jim Harbaugh is making $4 million this year, up from $3.5 million from last year. And I don't think anybody, I actually thought that he was due more money than that, and I thought they restructured his contract. The interesting thing was that the AD for Michigan came out and said that his increase in salary wasn't based on him getting more wins. I've been sitting here saying this today. It's not always about winning, but when you're paying somebody an extra $500,000 who didn't have a winning season last year, at some point it has to be about winning. So we'll see what happens there. We talked a little bit today, and I'm going to try to follow up on this too, that the NCAA is requiring all tier one personnel to have 7 consecutive negative tests before traveling to Indianapolis and getting into the bubble. If we want to call it a bubble, I don't even know if we can call it a bubble, but kind of what they're looking at. When we talked to Tubbsy just a second ago, you know, talking about the trial, for all of us parents and you know, if you have school kids, this might be one you want to watch with your kids and try to help everybody. And I have older kids. I have a 25, 21, and almost 20. And, you know, it's probably even a time for us to sit down and have these discussions about some of the things that have happened over this past year. We've gone through a lot. We've gone through COVID. We've had things shut down. My wife Jennifer and I were talking today that a year ago today, we were just leaving to head down to K-State to watch South Dakota State play K-State in Manhattan, Kansas. Was down there, enjoyed a really good breakfast, stayed at a really cool hotel, went and watched the first game, went back, had dinner, you know, got the next day, did some traveling around town in different areas, had lunch, went and watched a night game and got up the next morning. And they were getting ready to travel. They were getting on the bus. I had actually ran a couple of the baseball players over to a clinic because I think we were all thinking flu related symptoms. We still don't know. We were buying Lysol. We were buying wipes and Lysol, and we were going into stores, and we went into Target and into Walmart, and all this was gone. And then we went over to a Home Depot, found some, got it back to the bus. The bus took off. I think the bus stopped like an hour and a half later. And that was after that morning. The night before, you had Rudy Gobert kind of touching the microphone and doing all that stuff and all the crazy things that happened. And man, I ran out of time. I'll have to bring this back up. But it interesting time for us even talking about it today, that it had been a whole year. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I'm going to try to give Tony another call. If not, we're going to come back. I'll continue my story about the start of COVID in last year and where we're at now.
Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. You can go to the website, 1700thechamp.com. You can download the show. You can download my podcast. You can listen live. And we're live now, and it's always my pleasure to talk to Tony Cotillo. He is at tcotillo23. He's my Philadelphia guy, and Tone, I can't tell you how upset I was that I didn't get to see Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons play in the All-Star game, because it would have changed the way the game was played.
Yeah, you know, it was a shame, because obviously, even though everybody had their different opinions on should the game have been played in the first place, and you know, should they have went on with the show, so you have two bona fide generational talents in the All-Star game finally playing the way they should be playing. Their coach is coaching the team. Well, one of the teams anyway. Yeah, it would have been really nice to see them on the court with everybody else, and I think it would have been a different atmosphere as well. Even in the skills competition, just to have those guys on the sideline joking around with everybody else, I think it would have been fun to watch.
I do too, and maybe a coming out party for both of them. They've both been playing really well. You know that since you and I have been talking, there's not a bigger Ben Simmons fan than I am. I love the way the kid plays. You know, people don't like the fact that he's not offensive centric instead of doing everything else and then letting the offense come to him. I have an issue with that. And Joel Embiid is there's when you talk and you watched Rudy Gobert trying to run up and down the floor, you watched some of the other center. There is no other human being playing basketball like right now like Joel Embiid.
No, there's really not. It's something special. And for Philadelphia people, I haven't seen a basketball player take over a game since Allen Iverson like this. And, you know, if there was 25,000 people at the Wells Fargo Center, they would be standing the whole time. And, you know, just to see the way he commands the ball now at the end of games, the different elements of his game that have evolved in six short months. And that all has to do with Doc Rivers. And no disrespect to any other coach that could have got this coaching gig for the Philadelphia 76ers, Ty Lue, you name it. But Doc Rivers was the guy to bring the best out of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And one of the things about Ben Simmons that, you know, I know you're a big supporter of Ben, and I've been a pessimist in the sense of his offensive game only because I think I've explained this before. I just wanted him to finish more, and I don't really need him to shoot. He just needs to score, and that's what he's been doing. And a lot of that goes to Sam Cassell. Sam Cassell is a secret recipe for Ben's success this year.
And if you want to look at somebody else, and you and I have, I think we've talked about this too, but it as good as Steph Curry, we'll talk about him in just a second. If you look at the Dallas Mavericks right now, and you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, and one of the differences on these two teams is Seth Curry left one team and went to the other team, and one team's not winning as much, and one team is winning more. He gives them something to make them win basketball games.
Well, what he does is, and I'm not a huge Seth Curry fan, let me just tell you that. So what I will tell you is I feel he helps the spacing on the floor more than what they've had in the past. But I still feel Seth Curry is a tweener as a starter, and he's being forced into a starter role, which for me, I think he's more suitable to come off the bench.
Oh, I agree.
And I think that, right? And I think that's why, like I look at this team going forward and I say, they're one piece away. And I know we're going to get in that, but they're one piece away, but they don't have enough. Brooklyn is going to continue to make moves. You know, everybody that's talking about Blake Griffin, I don't care if people think Blake Griffin's washed. He's talented, okay? And when they get Andre Drummond, if they haven't already got it as we're talking right now, okay, that kind of rolls out their entire team. The Sixers need to counter that, and that means pushing Seth Curry to the bench where I think he's more suited to come off.
Oh, my gosh. 16 to 21 minutes is way better for him, and he knows that.
Yeah.
And I think I think Doc knows that too, and you know the because he's a liability on the defensive end, but it does give more spacing, and I agree with that. When you're watching the All-Star game, you know I think you can get rid of the skills competition. I think you can get rid of the dunk competition, but man, if Steph Curry, as long as Steph Curry's in the 3-point shooting contest, man, I'll watch.
And listen, I still can't get over the fact that Steph Curry is 33 years old. I don't think a lot of people understand it. He's been in the league for 10 years, quietly. He's quietly been in the league for 10 years. But we are watching, quite frankly, the best shooter of all time.
Oh.
And, you know, this is no disrespect to Larry Bird. This is no disrespect to Reggie Miller, Ray Allen. We can go through the list. But Steph Curry is a human highlight reel. He really is. And the quickness of his wrist, of his release, and the range that he possesses is just second to none. And you mentioned the 3-point contest. I don't even know if he hit the net at the time.
No, I know.
His shot was that effortless. It was unbelievable. He is such a joy to watch on a basketball court.
And I used to love, and once again, we're talking to Tony Cotillo. He's at Cotillo 23 on Twitter. I remember watching Larry Bird, and Larry Bird knew when shots were going to go in, and Steph has followed that up. When he lets go of the ball, he knows, because on ones he missed, he was already moving to the next ball, but the ones that he knew he made, he kept his hand up for a second. He knows when they're going to go in as soon as he lets go.
Yeah, he does. And in the All-Star game, I love, because I love a good trash talker every now and then, and I love the shot and the turnaround before it even falls. It's just I love that part of the game, and I know rubs people the wrong way sometimes, but I think it's a huge element to the excitement, and he's earned it. And this guy, listen, we've seen it. He shoots over 100 free throws a day. That's why he shoots 90%+. That's how you get your form on your wrist and your rotation on your ball. It's exactly what you do. It's for any kid out there who wants to know how to be a great shooter. Just watch Steph Curry and understand how he has perfected his craft.
And Steph will tell you the most important thing that happened in the All-Star game is he got an alley-oop dunk. That's what he'll tell you is the most important thing. But it won't
that was
be.
Great, man. Yeah. I mean, between him and he even gave one to Chris Paul. Chris Paul got the old man got up there. It was good to see.
And he does all of his stuff
from down on the floor. But Chris Paul's another player. And really quick, Chris Paul, if your team is missing an ingredient and you want to win games, you have to go after that guy, because everywhere he goes, he makes teams better and adds 6 to 10 wins a game. If he was with the 76ers right now, it's crazy what they could do, just because he's the ultimate passing guy.
He is. Now, you know, the biggest thing for me with Chris Paul is, number one, I continue to say best player in the world that's not talked about enough, in my opinion. And what he does with the passing game and being a floor general is absolutely second to none. And the one thing we could just label him as is unselfish. There's not many players in the NBA that are 34, 35 years old, multiple all-star appearances, multiple playoff appearances, and have become unselfish and not egotistical. And that's one thing Chris Paul has never been and never will be, which is a great part of his game.
Okay, so in the Eastern Conference, you have Dallas and you have Philadelphia. Philadelphia owners coming out saying, I got my guy. I mean, that's probably not who you want to say you got your guy. But, you know, he's got your guy. And then you have the Cowboys that all of a sudden decided to blow up the quarterback market and put a height limit on what they were willing to pay. And here's my first thought, and I wanted to get your thought. People making fun of Jerry Jones, he got taken, blah, blah, blah. Listen, this guy's got money. That franchise has money. And Dak Prescott knew he was not going to go anywhere else and make the money on the field or off the field that he can make in Dallas, number one.
No, you're right. And this was a statement contract for Jerry Jones, not for Dak Prescott. This was a statement contract for Jerry Jones to say exactly what you said. It's Jerry's world, and everybody else is living in it. He has multiple bank accounts and bankrolls that he is not willing to not spend. And the one thing I love about this contract, and this is just, and again, it's hard because it is a Cowboy, and I am a Philadelphia Eagle fan first and foremost, but what I will say is I love it for the simple fact that Dak Prescott went out with a gruesome injury, and he was playing on a franchise-laden deal. And what Jerry Jones did was he showed Dak Prescott, no matter what, you're still our guy, your value did not get nicked, because we think you're damaged goods now, which happens so much in the NFL, because in the NFL, these players put their lives on the line. And I love that they gave back to the player in this perspective.
I do, too, and well-deserved by Dak, who has done nothing but keep his mouth. He was quiet, never went out, never said anything, and he got rewarded, and I think that's great. Is Jalen Hurts, I mean, if they take this avenue and say Jalen Hurts is our guy, they go out and get him some weapons, and get some help. I don't know how you can look at teams, and I've heard them today saying, well, they should go after Justin Fields. What makes you think that Justin Fields is going to be better than Jalen Hurts? I mean, you can't look at their college careers and say, well, Justin Fields was better. I mean, Jalen Hurts was at two different places and played outstanding with the same type of talent. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is going to be a great starting quarterback, but I don't know if some of these rookies that are coming. I mean, you're taking Trey Lance from North Dakota. He's never faced anything like any of this.
No, you're right. And you did at least get a sample size of NFL action for Jalen Hurts, who not only faced NFL action, but faced adversity as well. Because let's face it, that was a Mickey Mouse run organization last year. And nobody knew what was going on. And all Jalen Hurts has done throughout his career has dealt with adversity, and he's continued to come out on top, and he's a leader. Listen, he went in that situation. He was a good soldier. He didn't say a word. He was a rookie. He got all the veterans behind. Week 14, 15, and 16, he was the seventh best quarterback in the NFL. In week 15, he was the second best quarterback in the NFL. And all I was told by everybody locally and nationally is that this team stinks. They have no weapons. They have no offensive line. Well, Jalen Hurts came in and put up 35 to 40 points. So I'm not saying that's what you're going to expect from him every week, but the kid damn sure showed he could play.
He did. And once again, we're talking to Tony Cotillo, who's at T. Cotillo 23. All right, Tony, I was having this conversation with my oldest son who loves sports gambling. More fun or more action betting the NCAA tournament or just the NFL?
You know, that's a tough one because, you know, we're talking about just the from a bracket perspective. You know, you look at a football pool or a field of 64 bracket, it's got to be the bracket. But for me, there will be never anything close to the gambling aspect of the NFL.
Right, and if you throw fantasy football in with that, then it's no contest,
yeah.
Right?
And I'm encapsulating the whole thing because actually, you know, obviously fantasy is my thing.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And that's why I enjoy it 100%. So, yeah, 100% the NFL for me.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He said, and his thing, too, is, and not that he's – not that he dislikes NASCAR, but he's getting really into betting on NASCAR. He comes on the show and we talk about stuff.
Nice.
And the other thing that he loves is golf. And I'm getting into this. I do bet MGM. They help sponsor this show. And nice. To be able to, on Saturday and Sunday, add bets on while playing live, that makes watching golf so much more fun. I mean, I enjoy watching golf anyway. I probably enjoy watching it even more than I like playing it, and I love playing it too. But it's fun when you get in-game stuff. That's what's changing. I mean, I wanted to ask you. I mean, for me, that's what's changing gambling. My wife and I just got back from Vegas, and, man, it's totally different than it was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, you can sit up a sports book all day and lay as many bets down as you want in game, live, halftime bets, right? It's unreal. You know, it's funny because I'll be honest with you that as I've gone on through this journey, I've learned that betting on the NBA product has actually hurt me in a sense that it's taken away from the game for me because I've been so worried about, you know, what bets I'm going to put in, what teams I haven't watched the product as much. And that's never affected me in any other sport. And I'm not sure why it has with basketball, but I'd rather watch the basketball game without the betting aspect. But for football and golf, especially like you just said, that's coming up, second to none, man. It's nothing like a Sunday at like TPC Sawgrass and you got Bryson DeChambeau or you have, you know, Dustin Johnson or, you know, you have one of these big notch guys in the lead and you're looking at hole 18 and, you know, your plus 400 over relies on it. So definitely nothing like that in the world.
Oh, and I can't wait to bet on the water hole this weekend. Bet the water hole live all weekend. Who wins, who loses. And that makes it exciting. I totally agree with you, Tony. And as always, it's so much fun getting to talk to you. And can't wait till next week when we talk a little bit more. And we're going to talk a little bit more about gambling. I love talking gambling with you.
Sounds good, man. I'm always up for it. I appreciate it, as always.
All right. Have a great day and a great weekend, buddy.
Connect with Steen on sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Want to thank Tiff for coming in today. She's down in Florida. It's always good to talk to her. Had a couple of segments, talked all over the place. Chris Tubbs came in. We talked about Minneapolis and all the things that they're going to be going through in the next couple of weeks with the trial that's going on. Have them in your thoughts and prayers up there, folks. It's a tough time. Tony Cotillo coming in and talking sports gambling and Philadelphia sports and the NBA. It's always fun. Tomorrow, we have Andrew Steenblatt coming in talking NBA with me. Maddie Nelson coming in, wide right, Natty Light, trying to get a hold of Mason Heckman to come in and start setting up for these conference championships. We'll get him either tomorrow or Thursday. Have some time to talk tomorrow as well. Hope everybody's having just enjoying this weather. My goodness, it's after going through February and that cold spell that you thought, well, we're never going to have a cold spell like that again. It's global warming. Boy, it's nice to have this out there right now. You know, it was really funny. The leading scorer in the country for NCAA this year averaged 24.3 points. I remember back watching college basketball in the NCAA tournament when I was in college. And then when I first got out of college working down at Allied Group Insurance. And, you know, that Thursday, Friday, that was, man, I got a cold. I got to stay home. It's must watch TV from, you know, noontime until 11:30 at night. And all the high scores that you had. And now it's just such a different game nowadays. Just like the NBA, you know, a couple of All-Stars ago, you know, it was a dunk contest and not a lot of fun to watch. But this one became a three-point shooting contest, so it was a lot of fun. So it's always good to, you know, see how things evolve, go back, you know, and it just it's a big circle, and it always has been. You can always check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. You can check us out on Facebook, too, at 1700 The Champ. You can go to the website at 1700thechamp.com, download the podcast. You can listen to the show live. You also, you know, we're into, and I just got done talking, with Tony about this, with sports betting and how big it's become. And, you know, that's a big deal. BetMGM's a big part of this program and enjoy the fact that, you know, they've bought on and bought into what I wanted to do. And to be able to talk about sports betting is a lot of fun. And you can download the app. My wife will tell you it's easy. It's easy to download. It's easy to use. And it just makes watching sports a lot more fun. And especially watching golf. I love live betting on golf and live betting on NASCAR races. It just changes and to really get into it with football is going to be a big deal as well. I got my partner in crime has Hawkeye Huddle coming up next, and so he is in there on Tuesday today. And so I'm going to – Jeremy and I have had this talk for a long time about Dak Prescott and how it made it to today to be the day that you get to come in here for Hawkeye Huddle. So you can look at me and go, I told you so. Or if I can look at you and say, I told you so, because I think we've both been on both sides of what should Dallas do. And Jeremy, one of the things I told the audience earlier is if you think Jerry Jones got taken,
jeez,
he didn't get taken. Now he may, you know, he paid a lot of money. But he's got something up his sleeve that either he knows what TV contracts are going to be and he's not worried about it or something. Or he's just got – he has an avenue where he's going to be making a lot more money off Dak Prescott than Dak Prescott knows.
Yeah, that was the first thing that sort of came up last night when news broke that Dak – or over the weekend when Dak signed the contract. It might have been last night. I can't remember. But, it was, oh, Jerry knows something. TV contracts are coming up. Yeah. He's going to get paid here. I think this is a great deal for Dak.
I do, too. I applaud well Dak.
Yeah. He sort of bet on himself. They offered him a lot of money for a very long time last season, and he turned it down. Doesn't want to be tethered to Dallas for the next 10 years. Doesn't want that Patrick Mahomes type of deal. So to get this 160 for 4 years is...
And almost a hundy right up front.
Good. Yeah. And there's a lot of... Football contracts are so weird, the way that they actually work and the ins and outs is like, yes, technically through signing bonuses, he's getting like 65 some odd million this year. But by signing him to a long-term deal now, Dallas is actually saving about 15 million against the salary cap.
Which is a big deal.
Which in a year when the salary cap is lowered because of COVID last season and missing out on money. Yeah, that is a big deal. Dallas, they didn't have a choice here. They had to get a deal done with Dak. You weren't going to franchise him. You were going to sign him to a deal. And you can't just let him walk. You can't let him test. And you have to sign him in order to trade him. Of course, that was some talk, too, that maybe this is going to be a sign-and-trade, but there's a no-trade clause in there. There's a no-tag clause. When the 4 years is up, they have to either let him go or figure out a new deal. So it's great. And kudos to Dak. And there's a lot of people out there, well, that's a little unsure coming off the injury. Well, you know what? They owed it to him last season before he got hurt, so they're making up for it now.
Absolutely. And he wasn't abused by the tag. I mean, he made some good money.
He made good money off of it, but he bet on himself, and it worked out for him, and hopefully it works out for the Cowboys as well.
Okay, so here's the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about today, and athletes, I try to talk to him every day on the show. So you have another one today, Myers Leonard. I think he plays for the Miami Heat. He was live streaming on a gaming video and made an anti-Semitic verses on there, or however you want to say it.
Said something he wasn't supposed to.
Said something. I mean, guys, you make a lot of money. You got to have somebody that's a buffer for you, because you can't say this stuff. Yeah. I mean, Greg McDermott's lucky that he still has a job. We just had Chris Tubbs on. I mean, they're getting ready to go through a trial that nobody wants to go through. It needs to be because of all the things that happen, but it's just going to bring discourse to somebody in Minneapolis, and not fun. These guys got to realize you got to think before. And we've done this. When you do this for a living on the radio, you have to have that thought in the back of your head. Don't say that.
Yeah.
And you bite your tongue and you just say, nope, I'm not saying
it. If you ever sit there and think, should I say this in front of a live microphone? Chances are you're safe to just not say it. And we have a 10-second delay here, hopefully, when it's working right. If we were to say something we didn't want out there, I don't think you can do that with Twitch. But be smarter, people.
Yeah. Like, okay. We got 3 minutes left. How big a deal for AEW is it, that Big Show, and now...
Okay.
I had to ask you because...
Christian, I thought you were going to talk about the non-exploding exploding ring, which, that was a whole ordeal.
Yeah, no, I mean, people, you know, Christian leaving, Big Show leaving and going, is that a big deal, not a big deal?
I think it's a big deal for AEW if they use these talents right. If they get to a scenario like TNA was when they first sort of set out, that they were just relying on these WWE names, and we were... The stars that we were attempting to build were getting shelved because all of a sudden someone's released from WWE and we sign him up real quick. If they're smart about it, if they do it properly, you're going to use guys like, you know, signing Big Show, Paul White, bringing in Christian, now going as Christian Cage, which I love.
I do too.
The addition of that name. If you're bringing these guys in to help the talent that you are trying to showcase get to that next level, that's where it's going to be at. These are two, not only just good wrestlers, but two great minds for the business.
So, I do too. And I think that that's what they want to do. I think they want to help the people that are there. I mean, I really do. I think they're not coming there for a money grab. If you wanted money, you would have stayed.
And that's the thing. And you know, Big Show was given an interview over the weekend, I believe, on a podcast. And he was like, Vince called me as soon as it was announced, congratulated me. There's no hard feelings here. I had been in WWE for 20 years. I had done literally everything there is to do there. They had nothing else for me. I'm going to continue to do what I like to do, what I love to do, and I'm going to get paid to do it. So it's win-win. And yeah, again, Vince called up Big Show, said, hey, congratulations. I wish you the best of luck. There are no hard feelings here. Go get you some.
Right. And I think, and that's a maturation point for Vince McMahon too, because he hasn't always done that.
No, he hasn't always done that. And again, it was, his contract was up. There wasn't much left for him to do. Same thing with Sting. Sting just competed over the weekend in the pay-per-view in a cinematic match that has become the rage post COVID. It's really easy to do something like this and still translate this little mini movie without an audience as opposed to an actual matchup, but it's something that he wanted to do in WWE, and for whatever reason they just weren't working, because there was still some physicality to it, and him coming off that neck injury, WWE's doctors were saying, no, you can't wrestle. With the same thing with Christian, no, you can't wrestle. They, you know, you had the one return at the Royal Rumble in January, and now a lot of people thought that he was going to continue there, but I'm guessing there was something else along the lines of, we just don't feel comfortable about getting you out there as often as you want to be. And now here, I can go do this here. So
interesting. It is very interesting. And it's always a lot of fun to get to talk to you with that. So you got Hawkeye Huddle coming up.